All right, we're going to start a new series. We're going to do favorite chapters of the Bible. And today we're going to take a look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And, of course, Revelation is the last book in the Bible. And let's pray, and then we'll get into our lesson this morning. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for the bright future that you have for us in your word. I pray you bless us, give us ears to hear. Help us, dear God, to long for our future home. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice what it says in verse 1 through 8. Now, I want you to understand this is true, what we're reading here. This is not a figment of John's imagination. Matter of fact, I believe that John couldn't tell us everything about heaven. He couldn't even put it in words. It was so glorious. But even if he could put it in words, you know what? We'd be killing ourselves to get there. Heaven is that wonderful. Notice what it says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Does that mean brand new? Or does that mean he just kind of recreated the old ones? I tend to think he just kind of recreated the old ones. Now, either way, it's fine. It's nothing to be, to get upset about. It's not a doctrinal dispute that I'm willing to stand on. But, you know, I just don't think God destroyed the old ones. Jesus walked the face of this earth. This is where he died. It meant a lot to him. This is the one he created. I think it's a recreation, somewhat like, after the flood. You know, God recreated the earth after the flood. It was different. Connie's shaking her head no. So I'm going to have to set her straight later on. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Now, how many think that would be a beautiful thing? I do. You ever see a dirty bride? I hope not. I mean, usually they're made up looking good, amen? And, if she comes in looking all tattered and worn and weary and dirty, I think you ought to say, you know what, I'll wait for a better bride. Amen? That's what okay. I need to move on. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is what? The second death. Now, this chapter deals with the New Jerusalem, the city that we will dwell in forever. Now, when does this take place? Well, the next great event on God's calendar is the what? The rapture. How many looking forward to that? You know, the older I get, the more I look forward to going up. I'm not looking forward to going down. I'm keeping my eyes up on the horizon, hoping Jesus comes at any moment. I believe it's nearer today than it's ever been. And we're going to go up. That's when we get our glorified bodies. We'll have bodies like unto Jesus' resurrected body. Then what happens? We're up there, then you got the what? No, what comes before the marriage supper? The judgment seat of Christ. I'll put those words in your mouth, Earl. All right, the judgment seat of Christ. And then after that? Marriage supper of the Lamb. Then after that? We return to the earth. And we're here for a thousand-year honeymoon with Jesus Christ, amen. And Jesus, what, removes all things that offend. And then after that, you have the great white throne judgment. And then comes the new heaven and the new earth. So, that's what the Bible teaches. Now, there's a scriptural need for a new heaven and a new earth. You say, why is that? Oh, I thought somebody was going to give me the answer. Holy moly, you people are giving me a hard time this morning. You know, years back I was talking to somebody, and he's been a Christian for a long time. And he asked me, he says, you know what? He says, what's with this new heaven and new earth? Now, I think a lot of people ask me these questions because I'm a pastor and they know I've been pastoring. And so they ask me these questions. And I said, well, there's a need for a new heaven and new earth. You may wonder why. Well, think about it. Where was the first sin committed? Where? Heaven, that's right. Who did that? Lucifer. Then he comes down to earth. And he instigates the next sin, does he not? So there was sin in heaven, there's sin in earth, and that needs to be obliterated, and so that's why there's a new heaven and a new earth. One where there will be what? No sin. Now, what a wonderful day that'll be. You know, you say, well, you know, the earth is beautiful now. You know what? It's under a curse. I can't imagine what it would have been like before the curse came. I mean, it must have been really awesome. You know, I think we're going to realize that once Jesus comes and we're here in the millennial and he removes the curse from the earth, then we're going to see what it was originally intended to be. But you know what? There's going to be a new heaven and new earth because there was sin committed in both those places. You read about the sin of Lucifer in heaven as he rebelled against God, and he along with his angels then were cast out. One third of the angels followed Lucifer. Now notice what it says in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And notice what we read here. We read this of the devil. His name happened to be Lucifer. Isaiah chapter 14. Verse 12 through 17. Notice what it says here. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, how many here understand that Lucifer had an eye problem? No, it wasn't. He didn't have 20/20 vision. He thought really highly of himself, didn't he? You know, if pride made Lucifer a devil, I wonder what it does to mankind. You say, well, you know, you may think you're a cut above the rest, but you're not. You're made of the same dirt the rest of us are. I will ascend above the heights of clouds, be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to what? Hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this a man that made the heaven to tremble and the earth and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his, what, prisoners? Listen, the devil never made anything good. He shouldn't be listened to. And anything that he speaks against this word is a lie. And we should not be heeding that. We need to heed the truth of God's word. Then you read about the fall of man. And who was responsible for that? Well, the devil was an influence, was he not? Did man have to listen to the devil? No, he didn't. Now notice what it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. So we see there's sin in heaven, but here now we read about the sin that was committed here on earth. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, now the serpent was more subtle, that means crafty, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, what? Why didn't he say this to Adam? I wonder what fairer sex, or should I say, what gender is more susceptible to be listening to the devil. How many think the devil knew who to approach? I think so. She's the weaker vessel. Notice what it says. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath what? God said. Now, you think he's going to quote scripture properly? Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Is that what God said? No, not at all. And the woman said unto the serpent, now this is where she got in trouble. She started talking to him. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, is that what God told her? No, he didn't say that. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now notice how cunning he was. First of all, he misquotes the scripture. Now he's just flat out denying it. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Ooh, she likey-like. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her spineless husband with her, and he did eat. Yeah. That's in the Hebrew. Why didn't he stand up for what was right? That's why I said what I did. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were what? Man, they didn't know that before. And they sewed fig leaves together and made them what? Aprons. Now we saw the sin that was committed in heaven, right? And then we see what? The sin that was committed here on earth. That's why there's a new heaven and a new earth that I believe will be remade. For the same reason, the first earth must pass away, for Satan brought sin to heaven, he brought sin to the earth. Then in the new Jerusalem will come out of heaven itself. Notice what it says in verse 2 of Revelation chapter 21. And I, John, saw the holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of what? Prepared as a bride adorned for her what? Husband. Now notice what it says. It says, coming down from God out of heaven. Now turn, if you would, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. Now here Jesus is talking to his disciples about him being gone from them. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many what? Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, where is he preparing that place for us? That's right. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Aren't you glad that we have that promise? He's coming for us. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be what? To be absent from the body for a believer is to be what? Present with the Lord. Now, Jesus tells us that in his Father's house there are many what? Mansions. Have some of these new modern versions say many rooms. Now, I don't know about you, but you ever see a mansion? Did you ever see a room? Now, there's a difference between a room and a mansion. A mansion's got many rooms. Jesus said, in the Father's house are many what? Mansions. He goes on to say that he goes to prepare a place for us. In other words, where these mansions are, he's preparing a place, what? For us. Now, when people die now, if you're a believer, where do you go? You go to heaven or the Father's house. Correct? Now, in that heaven, the New Jerusalem is being built. Can you imagine? This earth is, what, 6,000-7,000 years old. And he created this in what? 6 days. He's been working on this place called the New Jerusalem for us for 2,000 years. That's mind-blowing. We can't even fathom what it's going to be like. But it's going to be absolutely beautiful. Now, after the millennial, the New Jerusalem, after the great white throne judgment's coming down out of heaven, and we will live there forever. I'm looking forward to that. Now, the outstanding thing about the New Jerusalem is the eternal presence of Christ. Notice what it says in verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their what? God. He will dwell with them. And again it says, God himself shall be with them. You know, someone had said that the heaven of heaven is that Jesus will be there. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to seeing Christ. And we get to see him in all of his glory. Now, I'm looking forward to seeing some folks there as well. I've had loved ones that have passed on. I'm looking forward to seeing my grandfather there. I'm looking forward to seeing an uncle that I had that have passed on. And Connie and I had a little one that we lost at a very young point. Matter of fact, it was a miscarriage, but that baby will be in heaven. We will go and see that little child. I'm looking forward to seeing my mom and my dad and some of you folks of parents that have passed on, that are saved, that are up in glory. I'm looking forward to seeing some of the old church members I've had. Not all of them, but some of them. But I'm looking forward to seeing Brother Les, Earl's dad, again, and Brother Hickman. And I think when they'll probably be sitting there together, you know, still cackling it up and, you know, saying, preach to us. The harder I would preach, the more they'd be enjoying themselves. But I'm looking forward to seeing those folks. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing Jesus. You know, I've never seen him before. You know, I'm not Oral Roberts. He saw a 700-foot Jesus. I didn't know he was that tall. But I haven't seen him. And if you say you have seen him, I'd say, man, you must be eating the wrong kind of mushrooms or something, because they're legal now here, so I don't know. But anyways, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. Won't that be wonderful? Seeing the one who died for you, who loved you enough to sacrifice himself for your sin, die, bury, and rise again. I'm looking forward to that. He's going to mean everything to me. And if he wasn't in heaven, you know what? I really don't want to go. I'll just say it. I want to see him, and I want to be with him. Then the New Jerusalem is wonderful because of what will not be there. Notice what it says in verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, when does this take place? This takes place after the great white throne judgment, not before. You see, before that, we're still able to what? To weep. You say, why is it taking so long to wipe away the tears from our eyes? Because I believe we'll be there at the great white throne judgment. And it's going to be an unpleasant experience for all of us. I don't know about you, but it ain't going to be fun to see friends, even friends that I witnessed to, be cast into that lake that burneth with fire and brimstone forever. Seeing my neighbors thrown into that fiery pit. Seeing maybe loved ones or family members. Man, even people you don't even know. It's going to be heart-wrenching and heartbreaking. That's why I think it's so important we do all we can now to reach those folks for Christ. But at that day, we are going to be crying. There's going to be people that we've missed an opportunity to witness to, and we failed. I don't know about you, but I don't want anybody pointing a finger at me and say, why didn't you tell me? You said you were my friend. You were part of my family. You never did anything to reach me for Christ. That's going to be a horrible, horrible time. But after that, there's going to be what? No more tears. You know, there's going to be no more death. You say, why isn't there going to be any more death? Because there's going to be no more sin. The wages of sin is death. And in the New Jerusalem, we're not going to have any sin. Praise the Lord! No sorrow. Won't that be wonderful? You know, we sorrow plenty today. Somebody said, you know, that this life down here is a veil of tears. Pretty much is, isn't it? We go from sorrow to sorrow, heartbreak to heartbreak. But you know, one day all those sorrows will be gone. You know, in verse 1, or then it says, nor crying. What a wonderful thing that'll be. You know, if there's no more tears, we shouldn't be crying. Then notice in verse 1, it says, no more sea. And then if you go down to verse 22 of this chapter, it says, no temple. And then in verse 23 of this chapter, it says, no need of the sun, neither of the moon. And in verse 25, no night. It'll always be day, always be bright. Now, it's easy to understand why some of the things are absent from the New Jerusalem. But why not the sun? Why not the moon? Well, Jesus is the light of the city. His glory is going to shine throughout that city called the New Jerusalem. Why will there be no temple? Well, the temple is a place where God's people meet God. Well, since he's dwelling with us and us with him, there's no need for a temple. We'll have Jesus with us, and it makes the temple obsolete. You know what else? No taxes. You know, come April 15th, nobody's going to get all shook up anymore. You know, I just wish we'd have like a flat tax or a consumption tax would be great. Put the IRS out of business. I just, you know, I'm not a fan of that. But if everybody just, if a consumption tax, I think everybody's got skin in the game. And anything you buy, it has that extra tax on there, and everybody's got to pay for it. I'm okay for that. No taxes. No utility bills. That'll be nice. You know, there's not going to be jails. No prisons. Canyon City will be put out of business. There's not going to be a hospital there. No more doctors, no more nurses, no funeral homes. You'll be able to go on that street of gold, and not once will you ever see a cemetery with headstones lining all over that place. Here's one. No potholes. When are they ever going to fix the streets of this city? It's incredible, isn't it? They tax us extra for that. And the streets are worse than they ever been. You know, there's going to be no corrupt politicians. What is Tim Walz going to do? Unbelievable, isn't it? No corrupt politicians? Can you imagine that? People will be speaking the truth. There'll be no politicians at all because Jesus will be king. You know, the other day I was driving by on Platt Avenue and they got a place down there at some pink building or something called Pleasures. And it just drives me nuts. And I was thinking, boy, I hope during the millennial, Jesus makes me mayor of Colorado Springs. That will be one of the first places I take care of. All the gentlemen's clubs, all the liquor stores, all the pot shops, all this stuff is going to be obliterated. All those heretical churches, all the, you know, all that bad religion. I hope I'm the mayor and I get the clean house. But we're not going to have any of that in heaven. No one's going to be homeless. You know, if there's a crossroad on the streets of glory, you're not going to see somebody with a dirty little sign looking unkempt saying, please help. That'll be a beautiful sight to see, won't it? There'll be no poverty there. Wonderful. Then notice the size of the New Jerusalem. Look at verse 16 of chapter 21. It says, and the city lieth what? Four square. You know, I remember two deacons' wives, I overheard them talking about how the New Jerusalem is going to be shaped like the Star of David because they heard some preacher say that. Now, does that sound like four square to you? No. So is that goofy or what? It's goofy. You can say it. All right. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are what? Equal. Now, perhaps it's a cube shape. Some say it might be like a pyramid. It's going to be four square here and then just kind of rise like that. I tend to think it's just going to be a cube because there's all kinds of different foundations and levels and it's just going to be massive. You say, how massive is it? Well, it's as wide, as high as it is long. 12,000 furlongs. You say, what's a furlong? Well, there's about 8 furlongs in a mile. So this would mean that the city would be like 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. Now, that's pretty big. You know, they say it's 1,500 miles from the city of Boston down to Miami, Florida. That's big. So I believe there's going to be all kinds of room there. You know, you'll be able to get you a mansion. And you know what? You'll have some acreage with it as well. Won't that be nice? You're not going to be sitting in some high rise all scrunched up. You'll have acreage. That's going to be nice. You know, can you imagine streets of gold, boulevards running up and down that place, mansions all over the place? It's going to be wonderful. Now, it's going to be massive. Then notice the wall around the city. Look at verse 17 of this chapter. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man that is of the angel. You say, a cubit? What's a cubit? It's about 18 inches long. It's usually from the tip of the finger down to the elbow. and a longer cubit would be like 21 inches if the guy has a bigger arm. But the fact of the matter is, it's going to be at least 144 feet high. Or no, 216 feet high. Now, we find in verse 12 that this wall has 12 gates, three on each side of this massive city. And at these gates, there's 12 angels. And these gates will never be closed. And the name of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel are written on these gates. And then you have, those gates are made of what? Pearl. Notice what it says in verse 18 here. That's not the one I want. Okay, 21. It's in the 12 gates were 12 what? Pearls. Doesn't say they were made of pearl, right? They're just 12 pearls. Man, that's one big oyster, ain't it? Now, that's going to be a beautiful city. It's going to be incredible. Then I want you to see that not everybody's going to go there. That's kind of sad, isn't it? But there's going to be people not welcome in that city of gold. They're mentioned in verse 8. But the fearful. Now those who are fearful, they're afraid to do what God would have them do concerning entrance into that city. Perhaps they're afraid of what their friends would think, or maybe their family would think, or even in some cases what their church or religion would think. Then it goes on to say, and unbelieving. You know, I've seen more and more unbelief in these last 30 years than I ever have before. People just don't believe God exists anymore. And you know, I used to say, they'd say, how do you know God exists? You ever see him? I said, no, but I don't see your brain either. How do I know you got one? You say, well, that ain't good English. I went to public school. But you know, there's a lot of places I ain't been, a lot of things I haven't seen, but I still believe they exist. But unbelieving, those who don't believe God exists or those who don't believe God's way of going to heaven. The abominable, that's a very creepy person. Wicked, vile, baser sort of human being. Have you ever been around somebody, and it doesn't matter, it could be male or female, but within seconds your skin starts crawling. Yeah, those people. Abominable. Murderers. Now, how many innocent lives does one have to take to be a murderer? Well, you don't have to set a record. I mean, some have tried, but you don't have to. Murderers and whoremongers. Now, here's something. It seems to be prevalent today, but sex outside of marriage. I mean, it's rampant. Teenagers, adults, it doesn't matter. Even older folks are doing it. Because you know what? They can save money. They get more in Social Security if they remain single and shack up. And of course, we're all supposed to make our decisions based on finances, not on faith, right? How wrong is that? You know, the other day I was, Jake and Carissa sold their vehicle, but prior to them selling it, two people who claim to be Christians come and look at the vehicle, and one of them's wearing, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." They're living together, got two kids, and they're not married. What's that all about? And yet they want to tell you how good of Christians they are. They're not. Now, that may be a contemporary thought in America, but it's not right according to the Scriptures. We are to live by faith in what thus saith the Lord, not the prevalent society's norms. Whoremongers. sorcerers. He said, what's that? Ouija boards, witchcraft, psychic hotlines, tarot cards. But it comes from the Greek word pharmakia. We get the word pharmacy. Those who would do drugs to get high. Not for medicinal purposes, but you know what I'm talking about. So-called recreation drugs. And by the way, alcohol's a drug too. And those of you who need a toddy for the body, you are fall under that category. Let's go on. And idolaters. You say, surely that doesn't happen today. Really? I grew up in an idolatrous religion. Anybody else? All right. Yeah, we used to go. We have to bow down before statues. You know, that's a direct violation of the first commandment. Or the second commandment of the ten. Is it the second? You don't know. Okay. It's one of the top four. But you know what? We did that. Statues. And it's a so-called Christian church. No, isn't that shameful? That's an abomination, God calls. But you know, I wonder how many... Now that you say, preacher, don't get to preaching where we're at. But how many people worship money? Money is their God. Covetousness is as what? Idolatry. And by the way, you don't have to be rich to be a covetous person. You can be poor and covet too. How about self? Putting yourself ahead of the Lord. You know, if Christ doesn't have preeminence in your life, whatever it is, whether it's your husband, your spouse, your family, that's an idol. Idolatry. Then it goes on to say, and all what? Doesn't say most liars, does it? Many liars, does it? It says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ have been forgiven all those sins, past, present, and future. What a wonderful thing that is. But if you're without Christ, you fall in one of those categories because all mankind does. And if you died in your sin state, you know what? You're going to that place that burneth with fire and brimstone, known as the lake of fire. Not a pleasant thing, is it? And look who all your neighbors are. What a good group of people. But not everybody's going to the New Jerusalem. Not everybody's going to heaven. And we need to understand that. You know, so many people, you know, I talk to and they say, oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven. Really? Why do you think you're going to heaven? Well, I'm good. Really? Is that what the Bible teaches? Well, I'm religious. Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. Is that what the Bible teaches? If you're religious, you go to heaven? Well, you know what? I'm sincere in my beliefs. You know, can't be sincerely wrong, can you? You know, everybody's got their own plan on how to get to heaven. But God says there's only one way. And that one way is through Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of all men. And if you don't put your faith in Him, you're not going. Now, the Lamb's Book of Life, you need to have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where all the saved people's names are written down. And they are written down in permanent ink. You say, why do you say permanent ink? Because those who are saved got eternal life. Yeah. The New Jerusalem. How many think we got a lot to look forward to? Man, I sure do. You know, Connie's often said, she said, if there was a train going to heaven, my husband would be on that train. He would. This world doesn't have anything on me. I don't really care for it anymore. But I feel like the Apostle Paul, I'm ready to depart, but you know what? Which is far better than staying here below. I really think that way. And I hope you do too. All right, we'll have some more in just a few minutes. Thank you.